This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back, with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This, Canby. So happy to be with you. I am James Walton, your host. Let's read the news. The early results are in, and they are encouraging for the two incumbent members of the Canby City Council seeking re-election this year. Incumbents Sarah Spoon and Tracy Hensley, who received 3,778 and 3,674 votes respectively, along with newcomers Christopher Bangs with 3,400 votes and Jason Patton with 3,300 votes, were the leading vote getters in the early returns of a hotly contested Canby City Council race as of Wednesday evening. Jordan Tibbles and James Hebe were not far behind with 3,159 votes and 3,099 votes respectively. According to the city charter, the top three candidates will win a full four-year term on the council. The fourth place finisher will finish out the final two terms of the term Tracy Height originally won in 2018 before stepping down the following year. Spoon is principal broker for a local real estate firm she owns and is seeking a second term on the council. She was also the leading vote getter the first time she ran for council in 2016. I am humbled and honored that the citizens of Canby entrusted me with another four-year term on city council, Spoon told Now Hear This Canby on Wednesday morning. I look forward to working with the other councilors as we continue to work towards a more perfect Canby. Hensley, who has served on the council since 2011, was a founding member of the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force and also a volunteer for the American Legion Auxiliary and Operation Snuggle. Bangs, who filed to run just before the deadline earlier this year, is a longtime government and history teacher at Canby High School. I'm looking forward to working on behalf of the city. I love Canby, Bangs told Now Hear This Canby by phone Tuesday night. You know, I don't have an agenda. I've said that all along. But I do have some ideas. I'd like to talk about the dog park and some other improvements to the city. Patton is a broker sales representative for McHutchinson Horticultural Distributors and previously served on the Canby City Council from 2009 to 2011 before stepping down due to work commitments. He had a different job at the time, which required frequent travel. He also served on and chaired the Canby Budget Committee, as well as the Canby Urban Renewal Board and the Street Maintenance Task Force. Reached Tuesday evening, he declined comment until more results were in. Tibbles is a Marine veteran who works in trading grains and commodities and who has been involved or helped organize several pro-police events in Canby this summer. He holds a bachelor's degree in business administration from Oregon State University. I am truly blessed to have the support and encouragement from the citizens of Canby, Tibbles said by text. Proud of every candidate for stepping up to the call of public service, regardless of the results. Hebe is the director of the Building Blocks Early Learning Center in Wilsonville and has served as the elected precinct committee person for Voter Precinct 124, that's North Canby, in House District 39, and treasurer for the Young Republicans of Oregon. He also served in the U.S. Marine Corps from 2003 to 2007. I'm a bit disappointed, but it's not the end of the world, Hebe told Now Hear This Canby. I had a lot of support, and I'm thankful for all of you who were there for me. Congratulations to the winners. As expected, incumbent Mayor Brian Hodson won a fifth term in office with 4,266 votes in the initial returns. The former one-term city councilor was unopposed and has not drawn a challenger since he first won the position from incumbent Randy Carson in 2012. In other results, the Canby Fire District has easily won a five-year renewal of its existing operating levy according to the early returns. The Board of Directors had asked for the public's approval at the same rate currently in effect, that's 45 cents per $1,000 of assessed valuation. As of Wednesday evening, 79.3% of district residents had voted yes to support Measure 3-563, with only 20.7% opposed. 5 years ago, the citizens of Canby and Barlow strongly supported the district's request to increase the levy from 34 cents to its current rate. Had the levy failed, the Canby Fire District anticipated it would have to terminate full-time six firefighter EMTs, which would have made it difficult, if not impossible, to fully staff two ambulances at all times in the district. 2020 has challenged the fire district with COVID-19 followed by the wildfires in Clackamas County and the state of Oregon, Chief Jim Davis said after the election. Your support toward the firefighters has been overwhelming, which shows through with the 79.6% passage. This means a lot to all of us at Canby Fire. Incumbent House Minority Leader and State Representative Christine Drazen appears to have won a second term in office, leading her Democratic challenger Tessa L. Daniel 57-41% in early returns. Libertarian Kenny Cernach was a distant third with 1.8% of votes tallied. Drazen, who was voted to lead her House caucus after only 1 year of elective experience, ran for re-election on a platform of protecting jobs and working families. She's a mother of three and had previously served on the Canby School District Budget Committee and the Clackamas County Planning Commission. Daniel, also a mother of three, touted her own experience working with farmers, small business owners, and nonprofits, and promised to fight for unions, workers, and the environment. Both women live in rural Canby. Incumbent Clackamas County Commissioner Kim Humberston had defeated challenger Mark Scholl 54-45%, according to early returns. Humberston is a rancher who is seeking a second term on the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners. He has a unique accessibility as an elected official representing over 400,000 citizens, maintaining an active social media presence, and frequently posting in community groups. He has also attended over 100 city council and other community meetings during his first four-year term, according to his statement in the voter's pamphlet. Scholl is a retired military officer and small business owner, having served 25 years in the U.S. Army and Marine Corps and earning a Bronze Star during a tour of duty in Iraq. He ran on a platform opposing new taxes and encroachment from Portland and the Metro Regional Government. Humberston had also been the leading vote getter amongst himself, Scholl, and Brianna Sagdahl in the May primary, but had not cleared the 50% mark that would have spared him from a November runoff. Finally, voters rejected the new Clackamas County Children's Safety Levy, which would have raised an estimated $8 million per year for 5 years to help Clackamas County's children, youth, and families impacted by abuse and neglect, domestic and family violence, human trafficking and sexual exploitation, and homelessness. In early returns, Measure 3-564 was losing 54-45%. The measure had been supported by U.S. Congressman Kurt Schrader, Canby Police Chief Brett Smith, and Canby Board Members Angie Dilkes and Mike Zagava, among others. The ballot measure was referred to voters in the November 2020 general election by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners. The nationwide race for president has not yet been settled, but Clackamas County has left little doubt about who its voters would prefer to see in the White House come January. Democratic nominee Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris lead the county by a wide margin in early returns over the Republican incumbent President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. 99,800 votes for Biden and 61,700 for Pence. That's about a 61-38 split. In the county's updated results posted just before 5 p.m. Wednesday, the Dems' lead had narrowed slightly to about 110,000 over 73,000. That's a 58-40 split. The result was as expected based on voter registration rolls, but the margin was not. The Democratic ticket of Clinton and Kaine also won Clackamas County in 2016, but by less than 7 points, about 50-43%. Perhaps more surprisingly, the Biden-Harris ticket won every precinct within the city limits of Canby, albeit by very narrow margins. As of Wednesday evening, the Dems were beating the incumbent ticket in Canby 3,493-3,273. That's a 50%-47% margin. If the result holds, it would be the first time Canby's citizens endorsed a Democratic presidential candidate this millennium. In the last presidential election, precincts within Canby city limits went for Trump, and by a much wider margin, garnering 3,946 votes to Hillary Clinton's 3,212. Those results flipped in the larger, more rural, and much redder Canby school district, where Trump was still the leading vote-getter, but it appears much closer than 4 years ago. In the early results, Trump-Pence led Biden-Harris by a mere 500 votes, about 7,100-6,600. The area was solid Trump country in the last election, with the Republican raking in 11,000 votes to Clinton's 7,900. The Canby City Council on Wednesday night planned to consider a new grant program offering up to $300,000 in federal coronavirus relief funds to businesses and individuals impacted by the pandemic. Under the Canby Resiliency Grant Program, half of the funds, $150,000, would be allocated for local small businesses who experienced financial hardship this year due to COVID-19, while the other half would be passed through partnering nonprofits to Canby residents in need of rent and utility assistance. Businesses can apply for grants of up to $10,000 for relief due to financial losses directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Preference will be given to the businesses that were shut down by Governor Kate Brown's coronavirus executive orders and those businesses that have been unable to access CARES Act funds, including the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, or the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, the EIDL, or other federal emergency pandemic funding. All other eligible applications will be put into a lottery to award the remaining funds. Eligible businesses must be located within Canby city limits, have 25 or fewer full-time employees, and have a current Canby business license. Franchise or chain restaurants or stores are eligible if the owners or franchisees live within the city limits of Canby. This new program represents a continuation of several ways the city has attempted to support small businesses and residents amid the economic downturn and other challenges related to the pandemic. Last month, the council approved the new Open Air Canby Recovery Program, which allowed businesses to expand their operations into private parking lots without a permit, and this summer waived fees for expanded sidewalk seating permits for downtown restaurants and cafes. The city has also waived all late fees on utility and transit tax bills through December 2020. For more information, contact Canby Economic Development Director Jamie Stickle at 503-266-0701, or at Stickle, S-T-I-C-K-E-L, J, at canbyoregon.gov. A man was injured after falling from a balcony at a large Halloween party on South Leland Road near Beaver Creek Road Saturday night, authorities report. Deputies from the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office responded to the location at around 11:30 p.m. on reports that a large party was being held at the home with approximately 150 to 200 people in attendance and that a person had been hurt. When officers arrived on the scene, a patrol sergeant estimated that only 50 to 75 people were there, many in costume, with several in the process of leaving. And the party appeared to be breaking up, said Sergeant Marcus Mendoza, spokesman for the sheriff's office. The Clackamas Fire District had arrived on the scene and was treating the injured man. Captain Brandon Paxton, public information officer for Clackamas Fire, said the man fell 10 to 12 feet onto concrete and suffered unspecified injuries that paramedics on the scene considered potentially life-threatening injuries. Paxton was unable to provide the man's age, but he said he was in his 20s. He was transported to an area trauma center for treatment. Paxton declined to say if the man was impaired by drugs or alcohol. No other injuries were reported. No citations were issued, but Mendoza said the large gathering was reported to the county health department per the department's coronavirus guidelines.
Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows, you know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah, like DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah, which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers, and they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today.
Hey friends, James back with you. For the Can Be conversation today, we're going to play you a portion of a press conference with the Clackamas County Elections Office, in which Now Hear This Can Be reporter Tyler Frankie, the man, the myth, the legend, he took part. This was recorded on Tuesday afternoon prior to polls closing, but gives some insight into how votes in Clackamas County are collected, secured, and ultimately counted.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for this press conference. I'm Clackamas County Clerk Sherry Hall, and I'll talk about our ballot numbers and how voters can check their ballot status. At the end of yesterday, Clackamas County voters have returned 234,779 ballots for this election out of the 308,968 ballots that were sent out. That means that voters have already returned more than 76% of the general election ballots, which is 5% more than we received for the general election 2 years ago in 2018. And for further comparison, turnout for the 2016 general election was a total of 81.7%. And we're within 6 percentage points from surpassing those 2016 returns. We feel very confident that we will surpass that percentage in this election. Tonight, which is election night, Clackamas County will post our first election returns at 8 p.m. And we'll provide updates at noon and 5 p.m. starting tomorrow and on the following days until all the ballots are counted. All ballots should be counted by the end of Friday. Please note our website at www.clackamas.us/elections, which has an extensive FAQ for all voters. It covers how to track your ballot, how to request a replacement ballot, and information for voters displaced by wildfires, just to name a few. Voters can confirm their ballot has been received and accepted by visiting www.oregonvotes.gov/myvote. The site refreshes daily, so it could take up to 48 hours to display the accurate information. Please note that there may be delays given the high volume of ballots that we're processing. And with that, I'll turn it over to Elections Manager Andrew Jones.
Thank you, Sherry. Like you said, I'm Andrew Jones, the Elections Manager for Clackamas County, and I'll just touch briefly on our ballot collection process from drop sites and where we're standing with signature verification. So we've been getting a lot of inquiries from people about our ballot boxes. Are they secure enough? Are they safe? Our Dropbox teams consist of two experienced election workers that we match up with differing political affiliations. They go out. When they arrive on site, the teams unlock the door and they work together to empty all of those ballots from the Dropbox into a transport box. They seal those transport boxes with numbered security tags that we assign them at the beginning of each run. So then when those teams get back to the office, we verify the security tags, and then we can receive those ballots in for reception and processing with signature verification. The other thing I wanted to touch on is just our signature verification process. We check every single signature on every single ballot envelope that comes in. The most common issues that we have are when a voter forgets to sign their ballot, or for some reason we're unable to match their signature against their most recent voter registration file. If that happens, we reach out to the voter, we will send them a letter to the same address that we sent the ballot, and they have until 14 days after the election, which for this election would be November 17th, to resolve that signature issue and still have their ballots accepted and included in the official count. Our signature rates have been extremely good this election. There's been a lot of attention on the fact that voters need to sign their ballot envelope and to sign their normal signature that matches their voter registration card. So right now, our combined total of signature issues is less than 0.5%. So less than half of 1% of the ballots received have had signature issues that we will have to contact the voter for.
Hello, this is Tyler Franke with the Canby Current. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just wondering if you have a prediction for turnout. I know you said that you expect it will easily surpass 2016, but would you be willing to give any prediction for it?
Typically in the past, we've gotten about 25% on election day, which with this election would put us into the 90s. And I don't know if that prediction would come true because we've already received such heavy returns early. So already things are very different than usual. So not sure we can predict today's returns.
25% would be over 100, wouldn't it, today?
Yeah, actually it would be. 76%, yeah.
So
I was thinking of yesterday's.
Yeah, for sure. Sherry, what is the record? Do you have that for turnout in Clackamas County?
As far as the record, I'm not sure, but presidential elections have been 85% a lot of the time.
Okay.
We have about 50,000 additional voters over what we had in 16.
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me? Hi. Jenny Young with COIN here. Thanks for doing this, guys. Really appreciate it. Can you talk a little bit about what the process has been like for your personnel getting things ready during the pandemic?
We have fewer temporary workers, but I'll let Andrew answer that since he's the one that's back there most of the time.
Well, we're doing pretty much the same thing that we did back in the primary. So we appreciate not having to do new things during the general election. So we had the benefit of having that practice one run in the primary. And so really, vote by mail lends itself pretty well to operating in a pandemic. We send ballots out to voters. They don't have to come and stand in lines. So our staff really didn't have to do a whole lot of things differently. Our main change is that we are just operating with fewer people in the back because they have to maintain that physical distancing. So for them, it's just kind of that slow and steady pace that they have to go through, and they have to constantly be reminded that we are in a pandemic, so they need to be following those safety protocols and just continuing to work slowly and carefully.
Thank you. I have another one about observers. Have you had observers, and what's that been like?
We do have observers, and our temporary workers and observers all enter through not our front door, but our side door, and they can just come in and out as they need to. And the observers also have to observe the space requirements, which the chairs and the markings on the floor mark that all out. And they've all been very cooperative in following all the rules.
Can you talk about some of the feedback you've gotten from them?
It would be bragging, because anyone who comes and observes all of our processes really thinks the system is working very well. They see no problems.
That's wonderful. And Sherry, this is for you. You said you finished counting ballots by the end of Friday. What's the process after that? I'm not familiar with that.
You mean for additional ballots or what?
Well, you had mentioned all ballots should be counted by the end of Friday.
Okay, and that would be all the ballots that will be received by election night tonight. Tomorrow, there's about five or six counties that all meet in Multnomah to exchange the ballots we got for each other. So we'll each bring more back from there. And then the signature issues, they have 14 days to cure the signature. And Andrew mentioned that would be November 17th. There will still be some things to do. And Andrew, what other kinds of ballots will be waiting for more investigation?
Yeah, so once we finish scanning those on Friday, that's kind of the initial ballot stock that comes through. It's everything that was accepted with no issues right on through the process. But then we have those ballots that could not be scanned by our scanning machine. So those will have to be duplicated onto fresh ballot stock so that we can count those ballots. That process will probably take place next Friday and Saturday. And then, like Sherry mentioned, and we've mentioned before, anybody with signature issues, they can still resolve that issue after Election Day. So right now we have about 1,000 ballots that have signature issues. And so we could have 1,000 voters come and fix those issues, and we could accept those ballots and add those to the count. We continue to do audits and reconciliations, making sure that all of our numbers are matching up. And so that just takes us a while to work through all those steps. And that's the reason that we don't certify the results until 20 days after the election.
Thank you so much for answering those, guys.
Hi, thank you guys so much for taking a follow-up. I just wanted to ask and maybe hear from both of you, if I could, about your mood, I guess, just kind of how it feels to be an election worker or involved with elections during this time where we're seeing such high levels of engagement and turnout and such high levels of interest. During the conference last week, I was not able to attend live, but watch it after. And I feel like I got, especially maybe from you, Andrew, a real sense of excitement about being able to showcase what you do and really have such a high level of scrutiny on it.
It is exciting. There's real excitement in the air on Election Day. I don't know if that's because all of our workers are knowing that by, you know, there's the end in sight, no more ballots coming in. But the work we do is very important. We're the gatekeepers of democracy, and our workers all know the importance of all of it. And for me, it's just been really exciting that we've had such high returns so early. It's much easier to have all the volume at the beginning instead of at the end. The two of the days right after ballots went out, we got 34,000 and 36,000 on two different days, and that's totally unheard of. So it just puts excitement into the atmosphere that so many voters are voting. It's really important to do that.
Yeah, I'll just echo that, the same thing. I mean, it's exciting. We're also pretty tired. I mean, this doesn't feel like a normal election day. It feels like we've had about 16 straight election days. We've been doing this for 2.5 weeks at a pretty high volume. And so it's really exciting to see those turnout numbers grow. It feels like a historic election, so we're excited to see that participation. And with the national conversations around voting in a pandemic and with vote by mail, we are excited to be able to showcase our procedures and our policies and our laws so that voters around the country can see that vote by mail works. It is a secure way to get every eligible voter a ballot and try to give them every opportunity to vote that ballot. And so that keeps us going and kind of provides that extra adrenaline boost while we finish counting every vote we have.
One of the things I've heard from a couple of our temp workers who work at the tables opening the ballots, you know, in past years, we've never had this much volume at the beginning. And so there's more of a keeping up each day with what the tables are preparing for tally and having them run through the scanning machines. And yesterday, I think, was the first day that the tables weren't covered with boxes of ballots waiting to be opened and scanned. It's been a little hard for some of them that are such perfectionists. They felt like they weren't working hard enough, but they've never had such a high reserve of ballots to be processed. So yesterday, I think they felt a little better because you couldn't see any boxes on any of the tables.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for that answer. Thank you for doing this and for all of your work for our community. And best wishes for getting some good rest at the end of this week.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with, honestly, with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Joining us on the Canby Conversation today is Ann Ashlyn Wayne. She's the new owner and proprietor of the Blue Alley Salon and Galleria and Gift Shop. Is that right? Did I get it all
right? Blue Alley Salon and Gift Shop.
Okay. Blue Alley Salon and Gift Shop in Aurora.
Correct.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Great.
Welcome onto the Now Hear This Canby podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this? You guys just opened last month.
No, we opened a year ago on November 1st, but we've been open closed.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, because of the COVID thing. So
gotcha.
A year ago, November 1st.
Okay. So you reopened.
Yes. That is correct.
Gotcha.
But we've been over for a while developing what we're deciding to be.
Well, you have a really interesting model. I mean, we kind of summed it up in the name, but obviously salon, you do nails as well.
Yeah, we do. We are the first at time ever having spa pedicures and manicures in Aurora, Oregon.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And we're going over the top and we're going to go ahead and make it fabulous.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous experience, including wine from the Pheasant Run.
Oh, which is right next door.
Which is right next door.
Plus a gift shop and galleria featuring local artists.
That's correct, because my husband is a Saturday market vendor.
Okay.
And he, his company is called Be Good Monster. And so we're used to vendors. I love
that name.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's him right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Be Good Monster.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really neat stuff that you have in the gift shop that's very like, I mean, you have some things like this, these really cool Aurora t-shirts that are very specific to Aurora.
And that was to let everybody know that Aurora exists.
Is that why it has the binoculars?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And then some other things that are just like either kind of Portland, I think I've seen, or just kind of like by local.
Yeah, it's they're local, mostly around this area for right now. But yeah, Portland. We have My Copper Heart, which is beautiful jewelry. And we have a new vendor that's also using copper through a liquid transfer process using little tiny jumper cables.
What?
Yes. Where they dribble it into a copper. And that's right here. And her name is Jessie. And she's 27. What is that name? 27 something design. 27th Avenue Design.
No, she used to work for the KGB. That's her story. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then
got into copper art.
We got we got Susan, and she's doing these pillow pocket pillows and just all kinds of things. If we also have candles that little Sunny made, and she's a young girl.
Sweet.
If somebody wants to make something, I want to provide an area for them to
sell
it, so we don't have to just buy everything at Walmart.
Well, and Aurora's obviously known for its antiques, but not as robust, but a long history as well of little art galleries and crafting and things as well.
Right. I think this has always been an art venue here in this building.
Yeah.
And then before I was here, Tin and Paisley was here, and that's a hair salon. And they also have clothing that is just, and they're still down the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My one-year-old keeps trying to escape.
He's got something in his mouth there.
Yeah, we call him our little puppy.
He's so cute.
He does that. He puts things in his mouth and then
he's so cute.
Crawls around.
Are you looking for the choo-choo train?
I think he likes that music. Does that play all the time?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes all the time.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's across the street.
Right, yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, I've been a hairdresser for over 30 years, and I was at the same salon in Milwaukee for 23 years, raising kids, and this opportunity just came up, and it seemed perfect, and it is perfect, because my brothers are all around here, and so we have a real family vibe in here. It's fun, and everybody helps, and
including the family dogs.
Yeah,
I bet just, people love that.
They're good spirited.
Yeah.
They're the good spirit.
Yeah. You've got a pug.
Ellie, and she's going to be 14.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Her back legs don't really work.
She looks great for 14, which is
Till you see her walk.
100 and dog years?
Something.
Yeah.
Those back legs are pretty much dragging at this point. But but she's good. And then Buddy, and he's 12.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. What kind of dog is he?
Buddy is a pit bull.
Yeah.
Staffordshire pit bull and American pit bull rescue. But somebody told me that his markings are called Colby. He's a Colby pit. But he is just the gentlest, loveliest. But he didn't start out that way. I want you to know that was training.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, when you tell me how old they are, it kind of makes sense, because I've been here twice and I've never seen them not sleeping on that bed right there where they're sleeping right now.
Right.
But when you say 14 and 12, they've earned some rest.
This
at that
one's
age.
An athlete.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't seem.
Well, you got to see him in action.
He seems a little spry.
Right now he's resting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
They love babies.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
And then now he found a bell. So that's what we're doing here. We're going to be doing, I'm an esthetician, and so is Amber, the nail technician I just hired. She's fabulous, and we are going to be doing facials and skincare type thing using Dermalogica. Face mapping technology.
Wow.
And just whatever comes our way, that's what we're gonna do.
Awesome.
But that is what my license is in, is esthetician. Makeup, I do makeup for weddings and makeup and hair for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So, and I love doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that must have had to be interesting navigating the COVID stuff just as you're opening and kind of planning this out. And some of those guidelines being so tough for you're in.
Yeah, everybody was really kind, though. I mean, Tara and Carl are my landlords.
That's awesome.
And they were brilliant through the whole thing. And we had work to do in Cottage Grove. We weren't done there yet. So everything just worked out. It's fine. It's fine. You go with it. You go with it.
Yeah.
You got to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To some degree.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've got a great space in the back. I believe you share it with the winery. Right?
Yes, gorgeous. Yeah, the back patio.
Yeah, you do some music back there.
Yeah, we are also musicians, but they have in the summer every Friday they have a music out back, and it's brilliant out there. It is absolutely gorgeous with giant trees. So yes, it's a fabulous location.
Yeah.
Everybody should be here at least once.
Yeah, come check it out.
At least once.
Yeah. And bring your
wonders. That's right. We're gone.
Well, I'd love to hear a little bit more, Anne, about just what you think of Aurora. I think you mentioned you come from Woodburn.
Well, we are our family farm was in Silverton.
Okay.
And so we had loganberries and apples and strawberries there. And then my father passed away early. We moved into Woodburn. Mm. Okay. So my mother and my father actually had their first date here in Aurora, Oregon.
Right.
Right. At some restaurant, probably that pub over there. Who knows?
Oh.
Because nothing really changes in Aurora. The Colony Pub, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
So that was 64 or 65 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, so I feel like I'm just being drawn back.
Yeah.
I'm being drawn back and I just, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm in the perfect spot.
Yeah. Much smaller than Woodburn.
Well, and that, well, when Woodburn, when I lived there, there was nothing going on.
Okay.
Okay. There was no little mall.
Sure.
There was a Sprouse Ritz.
Pre-Woodburn outlet mall.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was nothing like that.
Yeah.
A whole different story.
Yeah. Okay. So this feels a little more...
this is just fine.
Yeah.
And Cottage Grove, where we were, and then commuting back to Portland on the weekends, Cottage Grove is very small.
Yeah.
It's right past, just south of Eugene.
Thank you. I know, he just loves that bell. Yeah, you seem like you really kind of dug into and embraced some of the culture and history that the name comes from.
Okay, yeah, so.
Yeah, right next, your alley next door.
It's called Blue Bucket Alley.
Right.
And it's an actual alley that whomever lived here in this little brick house, named it. She was a mystery writer.
Yeah.
And her mystery novels were Blue Bucket Alley.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I think
Blue Bucket Alley. No.
Or the Blue Alley?
No, it's a bucket. It's got a bucket. I took the bucket out. Didn't need the bucket.
There's an old legend.
Okay.
In Oregon, mm-hmm. not specifically Aurora, I don't believe, but about the Blue Bucket, and I think it was like gold dust or something. That was lost.
Oh.
And I believe the novel that you're talking about involved that legend, but it was based here in Aurora.
Oh, well, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
I think they sell the mystery novels over at Pheasant Run.
Okay, yeah.
But that has been named after, and then if you go there, if you come here and you go into the alley, they have a mural.
Yeah, yeah, they tell us a little bit about the story and stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
right.
Really neat. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, let's see now. Some people come in and tell me history all the time about
it. I bet they do.
I love it.
Yeah.
The council people come from Woodburn and get their hair done, and so I get to know things before everybody else.
Yeah.
But I'm a good secret keeper. So.
Oh, I bet. That's like you and hairdressers and bartenders, right?
Right, except I'm better than all of them.
Okay. Gauntlet thrown.
But young.
Cool. Well, as you are expanding your services and getting up and going and, you know, still adding things to your little corner of the world here, how can folks learn about you or get in touch or find out more?
Right. So we have Instagram, Facebook, Blue Alley Salon and Gift Shop. And you can go on there and see the designs that we have and the stuff and the products that the art that we offer and et cetera. And our website is not quite up and running, but it's BlueAlleySalon.com.
BlueAlleySalon.com.
Is our website. And that is getting ready to launch here soon. And what you can expect from this place, except for my hair design, will always be consistent. I will always be here doing that. And nails and facials. But the art in here is always going to be fluid. You know, it's always going to be different and new and always something new to look at. And that good vibe.
Mm, yeah, yeah. How do you find the artists that you feature?
Well, I find them on Instagram. People, everybody posts their work. And if they're local, I just say, come on in. And we meet and then they display.
Yeah, yeah. You got some paintings in here now. But
well, these are from Uganda, actually. These are a fundraiser. So if somebody wanted to support a village in Uganda, I have Emmanuel's work here. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's actually beautiful together. And there's two more pieces. But we'd like to do something when things settle down, kind of like a raffle or something.
Okay.
On a larger scale to get to do that. But, but yes, for right now, what I would like everyone to know is that we have a nail technician that is absolutely talented.
Yeah.
And ready to give you the best spa, pedicure, manicure you've ever had while drinking wine. And
while drinking wine.
The thing to remember is that we were born during COVID, so there's only one nail person in there. So you could come with 2 to 3 people, but you'll have to be willing to be together.
Yeah.
You know, so social distancing is definitely happening here.
Yeah.
And so we can't have like big groups. Yeah. We just can't do it with one poor nail technician.
Right,
so.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, come get your spa pedicure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny.
And then go shopping over at Tin and Paisley, and Three Daisies is our new place down the road. And time after time, there's just it's getting new. It's new. It's a new town.
Yeah, I got the new coffee stand just up the road.
Chug.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. Fellow dog lovers.
Yep. Is there any other way?
Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, Anne, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Yeah. Thank you for coming and talking to me.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
Well, you know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.